And this morning, I want to just kind of continue on in that theme, just what happened next after the disciples left from Emmaus. And what does it mean to have new life in Christ? Well, I want to ask you today, what's stirring in your heart? What are you really excited about? What's burning in your heart? Just like when the two disciples found out that they were with Jesus. And the scriptures say it was just burning in their heart when he was sharing the scriptures with them. What's burning in your heart? Maybe you got a new phone and you're really excited about that. Or maybe you got a new job or a new bike or a new car. Maybe, like Alan and Mimi, you got a new baby. And as exciting as these events may seem right now, all of them are nowhere near as exciting as the good news that Cleopas and his friend had burning in their hearts on that very first Easter Sunday. And after they realized who their traveling companion was on that 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus town, as soon as they found out that who that it was the risen Christ, and that he had disguised himself somehow from them, the two followers, once they recognized his true identity, when they sat down, they broke bread together, and I don't know if they saw his nail-pierced hands, but then the veil was lifted, and they recognized it was the Lord, and then Jesus vanishes miraculously from their sight. So overcome with joy, what do? Do they stay in Emmaus town? No, they get up, and I'm sure they just booted it. They raced as fast as their feet could carry them back to Jerusalem so they could tell the 11 about what they had seen and heard and how they saw Jesus. And oh, how amazed those two disciples must have been when they found out that Peter and Mary had seen the Lord alive as well. Well, there they are in this secret room after that. The doors are locked, we're told. And the unimaginable happens. The unimaginable happens. Their dreams come true because Jesus just, again, miraculously, as he left them, miraculously, he appears in his resurrection body, and he's with them right there, right in the room, and he says, "Oh, peace. Peace be with you, my friend." And I can't begin to imagine how astonishing that must have been for them. And he says, "I'm not a ghost. Come here, touch my hands, touch my side. Here, give me something to eat so that you know that I'm not a ghost, but I've been raised from the dead in this glorious physical, spiritual resurrection body." Now that is really, really, really good news. Well, in my former profession, I used to work with a man. His name was Con. And I loved working with him. He was such a professional. He had worked with the provincial government for about 35 years as a senior director before coming to our company. And through the voice of experience, good to listen to that, he would tell me, "Darren, don't be too quick to run with the good news." He wasn't talking about the gospel good news, just maybe a good news of an announcement or something like that. He said, "Make sure you know that it's true first, because if you're wrong, you only make yourself look bad and disappoint the people that you share the news with." Well, folks, I have some really, really good news for you today. And I've studied it. I've devoted my life to it. I've experienced it. And I've lived out this good news now for over 37 years. And since the first day that the Lord called out to me and changed my life, I have not stopped sharing the good news as the Lord gives me opportunities. I've tried my best, even as I got my haircut. Maybe some of you noticed I got a new haircut for Easter Sunday. Goes with the suit. Anyways, you know, just as I was leaving the barber shop, I just turned to the haircutter and I said, "You know," and I've got to know this person through the years because I always go back to the same person. I'm such a conservative. And I said, "Hey, why don't you watch The Chosen?" This person is Muslim. And I said, why don't you watch The Chosen? I said, okay. They said, yeah, thank you. I said, it really does a great job of depicting how Jesus walked this earth. And at first, I was just going to say, yeah, thanks, here's your tip, and walk out the door. And I just turned, and I had to share that good news. And I hope that that person will come to Christ, that somehow they'll be impacted. They'll watch that show, and that Jesus will speak to them. Because this good news is worth sharing. It's worth sharing. And ever since Christ has come into my life, he has made a difference in my life. He's changed my life. And you know, there's few humans, aside, of course, from Christ, who is God, that have had a bigger impact on the formation of Western civilization than the Apostle Paul. He was this brilliant, zealous, young Jewish Pharisee whose initial passion in life was to destroy the fledgling Christian church for Yahweh. It's interesting that God said, okay, I got the 11 disciples. I need another disciple. Who should I pick to be like one of the most influential people in the development of the church? Let's see. I'll get the guy that wants to kill all the Christians. That's who I'll get. That's how the gospel can change a life. And he changed Paul's life when he had an experience with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul found new life in Christ. He describes this new life in his letter to the church at Rome. And as Elena was sharing her prayer with us, that very spirit-filled prayer, she alluded to one of the truths that Paul said. He said that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in those who call him Lord and Savior. That's the Holy Spirit. The old is gone. The new has come. There's new life in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives when we receive Christ by faith. As we repent of our sins, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and there's this supernatural exchange that happens in our life. And the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our lives as followers of Christ. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, must be born again of the Spirit. Well, this past week, a friend of mine, he knows I like trees, and he sent me this article on oak trees, how amazing they are. And not a lot of oaks around Edmonton. There's a few, but you go to other places in North America, and the oak trees are amazing. And this phenomenal process where this little tiny acorn is drops onto the ground, and if the growing conditions are right, this little seedling germinates and emerges, and then it grows into this massive, majestic oak tree that can live up to 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Well, on the night that I fully received Christ into my life, I prayed here initially a few weeks before this night with Pastor John, and he shared the gospel with me, and I wanted Christ to come into my life, but I hadn't fully, I believe, turned from my sinful life. I hadn't put it all before the Lord's feet, my whole life. And I was out in a park by myself, and I was just tired. I was tired of living like this tumbleweed, just being blown around by the destructive winds of my sinful life. And up to that point, it wasn't good news that was burning inside of me. It was my own evil lusts that were swaying me and starting to just damage my life as I gave myself over to that pursuit of those type of things in my life. But by God's grace, there in that park, I got down on my knees and I repented of my sins, and I prayed as earnestly as I could, and I said, Jesus, come into my life. Let me send down roots deep into your truth, God. I wanna flourish in this life. I'm tired of being a tumbleweed, just blown here and there. God, come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. Lord, I want to have new life. I want to have purpose in Christ. You know, from that first day that a person receives Christ, those who follow Jesus, we all have a similar story. Maybe it was an event, maybe it was a process, but we came to that place, that juncture in the road where we said, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I don't have all the answers, but this one thing I cannot deny. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I have new life in him. Well, the Bible says that when that happens, then we are like a tree. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord today? Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the streams. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries of a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This transformation that takes place over time as we grow in God's grace and knowledge, because it is a process. God is shaping us. He's forming us into his image. And as we serve and worship him, and as we enter into community with other believers, and we participate with the Holy Spirit in serving and in worshiping and in giving and all these things that happen once we've received Christ into our lives, then that God is doing this beautiful growth in us, and we begin to flourish in our Christian life. Yes, there's setbacks and there's times when we get caught up in a mess of sin, or maybe there's even a season where we struggle with doubts and we wander, but God is gracious and he meets us. And Jesus has this incredible ability, just like he met the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He meets us in the unexpected times of life. Even when we've turned away from him, the Lord is gracious, and he is slow to anger, and he longs that we come back to him in repentance so that we can receive his nurture, so that we can sit under that shady tree of his grace, and that we can be restored, and that we can be re-envisioned and renewed so that we don't grow stale, that we don't grow cold, that we don't turn into a tumbleweed and just start being blown around by the things of this world. No, God is, he meets us on the road of life, and he calls out to us, and we know that, we remember that God's mercies are new every morning. The Bible says, great is the faithfulness. Oh, great is God's faithfulness. He doesn't give up on us, folks. He doesn't. Because of his great love, we're not consumed. We're not consumed. Our hope is in heaven. Regardless of what happens in this life, we are not consumed. We're through the rigors even of new life transformations, because sometimes it is rigor. Sometimes it is a matter of discipline. And then there's the times, those beautiful euphoric times when God just speaks to our hearts. And he reminds us that we are his children, that the Spirit whispers to our spirit, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Folks, we are all on the road to Emmaus in this life. And there is a starting point, and there is a finishing point. And I pray that you won't reject Christ or just simply pass him on by on the road to Emmaus. I pray that you will not delay the day of salvation in your life any longer. Don't pass him by. Don't turn away from him when he calls out to you. Today is the day of salvation, folks. Jesus said the road of faith is the narrow road, and wide is the road of destruction, and many travel on that. But God invites us to follow him on that narrow road of life and to receive the new life. And we're not so naive that we think that it's going to be just easy peasy all the time. No, the Lord is our shepherd, though. And he walks with us. His goodness and mercy accompany us all the days of this life. And then as we grow with him, we learn perseverance. We learn what it means to go through the seasons of doubt and despondency. And we continue on that journey with Christ. And God sees the bigger picture. He always sees the bigger picture because he's God. And the ultimate expression of the gospel is not just lived out in the new life of this life, But it, ultimately, the bigger picture is that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever when our days on this earth are done. God knows we're made of clay. We're like these clay pots. But what's within us, the Spirit of God, is eternal. Paul says, don't lose heart. Even though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed. That new life is being renewed in us day by day. For these light and momentary troubles, they're achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs anything that this world can throw at us. Because our God has overcome this world. This is our inheritance. This is our hope, Still Heights. This is the promise that sin and death cannot steal away from us because it was purchased through Christ's death on that cross. Through his blood, we receive redemption for our sins and relationship with Christ. When you think about just a little itsy-bitsy caterpillar, and you think about how through the phenomenon of nature, somehow, that caterpillar goes through a metamorphosis, a transformation. It becomes this incredible butterfly with wings and beautiful patterns and colors. And our earthly bodies that are sown perishable, these clay pots, one day they'll be raised imperishable, the Bible says. These lowly bodies will be raised up in glory, just like Jesus was in his resurrection body. These present bodies that are weak will be raised in power through the resurrection that comes through Christ in the great resurrection day. The trump will sound, the Bible says. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we'll be changed forever, and we will receive the inheritance of our faith. Folks, Christ alone can offer us new life. And so if you're watching today online, or if you're up in the gym, or you're here in the sanctuary, and you don't know Christ as your Savior today, I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation, that you may receive Christ. It's that starting point where you give your life to Christ. That the Bible says that as many as received him as Lord and Savior, he gave them the right to be called the children of the Most High God. It starts by faith and repentance. And so wherever you may be, in the sanctuary, upstairs, in the gym, online, if you don't know Christ or you want to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ today, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, I need you. I need you in my life, God. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for sending your son and giving us the ability to receive new life through our faith. So God, come into my life today. Lord, make me the person you want me to be. God, I'm tired of living in disobedience to you. I'm tired of running away from you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, hear my prayer today. Lord, I open the door. I receive you into my life, Lord. I surrender my all to you, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my shepherd, God. Lead me through this life, God. Fill me now with your new life, or fill me afresh, God, with the new life that only comes from you. Lord Jesus, I believe that you can do this. I believe that you are the Son of the living God, and I thank you for coming into my life right now. Amen.
Arise, my soul, remember this. He took my sin and he buried it. No longer I live, your glory. Oh, all of this for your glory.
Thank you, choir / worship team. Wow, what a way to end our service. All this for your glory, Lord, for your glory. Oh, God, lead us, God. We are your people. We want to live for your glory, God. We want to shine your light. We want to tell the news, the good news of new life in Christ. Lord, fill us now. Fill us afresh with that same power that you raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, God, let us be people of your glory. Oh, Lord, give us victory. Give us victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you, everyone. For those of you, if you prayed that prayer, whether online or here in the services, I encourage you to come and talk to me if you're here. I'd love to share with you some more things about your new life in Christ and give you some materials to help you walk in the newness of this life that you've received today. And if you're watching online, send me an email, darren@shbc.ca. I'd love to get in connection with you and share some more about the hope that we have. Go in his grace, Still Heights. Go in his peace. God bless you. He is risen.
Amen.